What time is it?
It's podcast time.
What time is it?
It's podcast time.
What time is it?
Podcast time.
Really fun podcast for you today. Jeremy Piven, a.k.a.
Lord.
Ari Gold from Entourage, in the studio, fresh off a plane, no sleep. David Walliams zooming in from the UK. And Lloyd Langford and Anne Edmonds. What a lineup.
Good value.
A great couple, very funny in their own right, with shows at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Hey, Nick Cody.
I'm back.
He's back.
Number one,
toilet
or twos?
Break?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boys.
What'd you do?
Yeah, too many borders, man.
Yeah.
When I'm on the bike.
Did you have that big army sized carafe that you carried?
He lost it.
No. Where is
it?
No, I just kept that at home. It's too much.
He lost it. I thought he lost it.
It's a lot.
Yeah. No, it's just sitting at home. It's a bit ridiculous.
It's like, for people listening on the podcast, it's like when you go into a doctor's surgery and those big tubs of water are sitting there. That's what he
carries
around.
Like a never fail.
Yeah.
It's a big Frank Green thing that my mate bought for me in the two shittest colours he could find on the website. He went like a chrome colour bottle with a khaki green lid. It is atrocious and it's massive. Mm. And now I'm using disposable plastic bottles because I care about how you guys feel about me more than the environment.
Yeah, you get 5 cents if you hand that in.
Is that right? Yeah. They still do that. Remember that was a big thing, cans?
Yeah. People go around and collect the cans at the footy.
James Blake. You do this?
I had a big trip over to the Port Melbourne Woolworths to do a bit of a deposit last week.
Who was my call?
You're the best. Hang on. Local. Are you doing? What are you?
What are you depositing?
Bottles?
Cans and plastic bottles. Jizz.
How much cash did you get?
$5.
Why did you do that?
He's hard up, mate.
But
he lives at home.
You just put them in the bin and they recycle them.
Yeah, or I could get $5.
Would it cost you $5 to get there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. So I think $5, I break even. So I'm happy with that.
Are you, though? There's a lot of collecting.
Yeah, no. It's a fun little trip. And every time I have an extra can, it's like, oh, okay. Well,
that's... How many cans is that guy's $5 worth? 5 cents?
Or 20, 100?
Maybe 20, yeah.
You're 27. When are you going to stop that?
The worst bit about the whole thing to me was he said fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun little trip.
It is fun.
Do you watch them get like demolished and stuff or?
No, you put them on a conveyor belt and then it goes into the back. It is, I defy you to not do it. No, hold on. Just do it.
No.
It's fun. Have a crack.
So many other things I have to do before.
Do you know what's even more sad? I've seen this because I live near here and that's my local. There's always a line to use it as well.
Yeah, because people are hard. They need money, man.
Oh.
What a line to use.
Yes. So people are actually sitting in a line to get cans in a machine.
Wow.
There is a line.
It's a big thing.
Do you know an easier way to get cash? Listen to our show. We play Alpha Bucks twice a morning. You can win $20,000 each time you play. Keep listening
Twice
to the podcast because
Twice
we've got an answer for Alpha Bucks, which could get you your $20,000.
Arden Homes. Create award-winning energy-efficient homes that are not only beautiful but improve the way you live. And for a limited time, enjoy up to $39,000 in bonus upgrades.
From the Fox Studios in South Melbourne. Fifi Box.
We make people feel good.
Brendan Favola.
Fishy, fishy, fishy.
Nick Cody.
Boring.
Our Melbourne's number one breakfast show.
Woo! Popular Melbourne radio hosts Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Fifi, Fev and Nick.
From Melbourne, Australia, Fifi, Fev and Nick.
We are the best city in the world.
Just love Melbourne.
It's the best.
Absolutely love it.
They are the best.
Live in Melbourne every day.
Wake up with Fifi, Fev and Nick.
These are becoming the biggest parties in Melbourne.
We've packed outdoors.
We did schoolies for the very first time.
Mary Warren, here is your statue of Brendan Favola.
Hey, it's Taylor Swift.
Hey, it's Ed Sheeran.
Margot Robbie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jack Black.
Great to meet you.
So good to have you back on the show and to come to Brekkie in the Burbs. You just won $100,000.
You just won Fox's golden ticket.
That is the secret sauce.
We love this city. The Foxes, Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Wake up with Fifi, Fev.
Hey, look at that, a brand new week. Short one makes it a bit sweeter.
Oh, yeah, got Friday this Friday. Gosh, that means got so much to do this week. You know when you realise...
I'm going to be gracing the ground on Good Friday.
You'll be gracing the ground? What does that mean?
At Marvel. I'll be on the
turf. You're playing footy?
Well, I'll be doing a goal kicking for cash for kids.
Oh, great. Yeah, who are you up against?
Another North Melbourne player. Maybe Boomer Harvey, maybe. I'm not sure who it was.
Was it just the two of you?
Yeah, at halftime of the North Melbourne Carlton game.
You'll smash it.
You should. Your number one breakfast show here at the Fox.
Yes, and Melbourne, a huge event is coming April 2nd. Jeremy Piven live at the Palais Theatre. And he is fresh off an aeroplane, straight from the airport in the studio. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
I'm so glad this is not TV because...
You look great, though.
Yeah. I look like a bloated mess, let's be honest.
Oh, man, fresh. That's an LA flight, is it? You've just got off?
Just about 45 minutes ago, I landed and here we are. Yeah. I want to see. This is like an experiment. No, it's a human experiment. Can you put a sentence together? And we don't know. We simply don't know.
How'd you fly? United?
It was a Spirit Air, cost $11, and you have to pay for the bathroom. Yeah. I went to the bathroom on the floor, and they just played through. They didn't care.
Russia and
so
Tonga.
You're on Jetstar then.
Is this your first time in Australia?
First time.
This is insane.
You're the first Australians I've ever met. Wow. This is crazy.
Normally people go and pat a koala first, go and see a kangaroo at the zoo.
Yeah, I want to get hammered with Russell Crowe. I want to do some cliched shit. Yeah. Can I swear?
Yes, you can.
You can chuck some phones at people. He does that in motels.
Let's not go there. We love Russell.
This is Melbourne. Yeah. Obviously, you realise this is really the capital of Australia, the best city.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, on the way in, the architecture is beautiful. It's a new city. I love it. I love it so far.
Can you understand us?
I can understand you. Yes, very much so.
Because when you go to America and you speak, they hear your accent. They don't quite understand you. But
I understand it because I studied the National Theatre of Great Britain. I did a show there for 4 years. Yeah. I used my passport. I'm cultured. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I know the difference between an Australian accent and
British accent. We talk too fast. Sometimes. Hey, let's talk about Entourage, one of my favourite shows, and it got me through a lot.
You wouldn't get that very often, would you, Jeremy?
No, but mate, he was one. Ari Gold was literally one of him and Johnny Drama. They were my two favourites. Now, Ari Gold, I read recently that you used to go through all your lines with your mum.
Yes. Well, I do lines with my... No, sorry, I run lines.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do kids at home. Yeah. Don't do lines with your mom. Yeah. It gets ugly. My mother, I was literally just... Because I'm here, I'm very lucky. Australians have love for me. I'm doing two films and two theaters. We're doing the State and the Palais Theater on the 2nd and the 4th. Do you see how I shamelessly kind of navigated into that?
Self-promotion?
Very smooth.
Yeah. So I was just running lines with my mother just before I left. And so she's been my acting teacher since I was a child. And so everything that I said is Ari Gold, and he's probably the most offensive character you could ever come across.
Lie!
Yeah. And I don't know how much I can say on this show.
You can say whatever you want.
Just say it. I mean, just imagine everything I said is Ari Gold, right? Yeah. Lloyd, have you had so much squirted in your eyes that you can't see what's right in front of your face? There better be a Scud missile heading towards us, Yoko, or I will choke you out with a My mom's like, let's go again. Let's go again. She goes, no, let's go again. You know what? Can you make the more authentic?
Oh,
I'm like, Mom,
God.
Mom, stop talking. Jeez. Stop talking. No, I can't.
That's
Mom,
amazing.
No, my mom is like, she's a professional. She's not offended. She knows it's a fictional character. So I could say anything to her.
Yeah.
And she knows because she's an artist. And so, I unpack that on stage and I have a blast. And, everyone thinks that I was improvising during Entourage, and the reality is it was all written. And then the trick is, obviously, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, is to make it all feel totally improvisational. Yeah. But I had someone standing there word for word and making sure that I didn't miss a word.
Wow.
So,
We've got our own Lloyd. See the little nerd burger with his sunglasses on there?
That's the one who's in the tuxedo.
He won't even look up. He's terrified.
He's our Lloyd.
Lloyd.
Nice. Look at that. He's got a bow tie on. I love it.
James?
Hello, sir.
He didn't even turn
around.
He's
27 years of age, lives with his mum still in a race car bed. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Just got his license.
Okay. Good for him, man.
He's a real nerd.
I love it. Well, he does all the dirty work for you guys.
Yeah, he pretty much
you guys,
does.
All right.
Yes.
By the way, 27 at home was not that bad. In L.A., we have 40-year-old agents living at home.
Oh, really?
I just want you to know that.
Really?
JB, there you go. Off to Hollywood, big boy.
I'm
Bring mum and dad, obviously. You'll need a house, but...
What does a house go for in Hollywood these days?
It depends on where you want to live. If you want to live in Agora Hills, or Rancho Cucamonga, you could get something for about $1.5 million, but... If you want to live up in the Hollywood Hills, it's probably like, you know, starts at about $3 million.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
A few more years with David and Leah at home, yeah. James, and Save you can. Now, I know this is tough. You've just got off a flight.
Yes.
Your first time ever in Melbourne. We're the first Australians you've ever spoken to in Australia. But I want to talk about Jeremy Piven live at the Palais Theatre, because what can people expect? I mean, we all love you and know you, and to be able to see you on stage. And I was going to say, because you get asked about Entourage all the time, but the truth is, as you just said, you've been performing since you were 8 years old.
Yeah. Listen, I can't be angry because I did a character for a decade that connected with people, and I love that character. And I came, listen, there really is an Ari Gold in Hollywood. There is a character that was my agent who is, he represents Mark Wahlberg. And, you know, it's.
He's in Australia at the moment?
No, he's not. But the reality
is
people.
Yeah.
No, it's
Mark
okay. You know, he's an elite athlete. He's been hitting the head a lot.
Mark Wahlberg's in Australia.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's in Sydney.
Oh, my
he's
God.
He's doing a movie.
Oh, that's
he's filming
incredible.
A movie in Sydney.
Yeah, he's in Sydney.
You can get
that's fantastic. So Ari Gold exists, you know, and so people confuse me for Ari Gold, and you know that happens, and that's not, you know, we can bring him back, whatever. But yeah, I've done 80 movies, and I've been working my entire life, and it happens, and you know, you be careful what you wish for, because I want the freedom creatively to write all my own stuff. And so I've been touring for about 10 years now, and your buddy Monty Franklin has been opening for me, and he's a genius, and he'll be there at, you know, opening and doing his thing. And, you know, it's funny because people, after they see my show, they say to me, "We didn't know you were this funny." And I think I'm 200 years old and I've made 1,000 movies. So I must have been sucking for the past 30 years.
Excellent. How good. And you can get your tickets now, Ticketmaster.com.
Is there going to be an Ari Gold spinoff? I heard that's in the pipeline. Is that right?
You never know. That's a Mark Wahlberg question.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what it's funny, during that show, I was always the last to know on everything. And I'm not just saying that. So you never know. I do know that, like, when I go on tour, I have people during the show screaming, "Let's hug it out." And just like, "Lloyd!" You know? And it sounds like people have Tourette's. You know what I mean? So you just got to keep going and navigating. So I know, you know, I'm out there, so I know that people miss the show.
And the what's the main character's name? Bloody, his real name?
Adrian.
Adrian.
He's
here a lot. He's always in Fitzroy and Collingwood. Now, you're big on Twitter. I used to follow Ari Gold on Twitter. And you used to hammer. You were like Ricky Gervais.
Was it real?
Was
Ari
that you?
Or fake Ari?
It wasn't me.
Wait,
there is an Ari Gold on Twitter?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So that's not you, mate. They hammer people, and I always thought that was you.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's flat.
No, you could get away with a lot. That's kind of genius if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't Jeremy Piven's dream you were following. It was Ari Gold.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but it was like being you.
Right.
I have been hitting that a bit.
Yeah.
Jeremy Piven live at the Palais tomorrow night, 2nd of April. Tickets, Ticketmaster.com. Cannot wait to see you, mate. Thanks for coming in.
I want to say, if they mention this show, I'll give them a free meet and greet. And might as well. And we'll hang out and take some pictures.
That's huge.
You know?
That's great.
Because you guys have been, you've been kind to me. You're a friend of Monty's. We love Monty. You want to do some time on the show? You're a stand-up?
Yeah.
Oh, Nick Cody, yes.
Listen, join us on the 12th of Never. I'm out of here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
He got him.
I was just at the Palais, mate. It's a beautiful spot.
You actually got him then? He was really excited.
No, but you can get do some time. We'll just, you know.
There we go.
I'm actually...
Let's go.
I'm on holidays.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
On holiday means you're not going to show up.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. When am I at the Palais Theatre, by the way?
April 2nd.
April 2nd.
Okay, and where do they get tickets? I forgot.
Ticketmaster.com. And remember, as Jeremy just said, mention the show and you can have a meet and greet and a photo with Jeremy.
We'll hang out.
101.9 The Fox.
It is your number one breakfast show, Fifi Fevenick. Good morning.
Sure is the number one breakfast show. And Fev, how lucky are we every day? Blessed. Because not only do we get to work with each other, we get to work with the most likable radio presenter in Australia, Fifi Box.
Yes.
As voted on. The people have spoken. And Fifi, you are the most likable. You're number one in Australian radio. It's incredible.
So where's this going?
What do you mean?
I don't know, because it's very nice of you to say this, but I don't know why you just bring it up.
Well, the people voting, maybe they haven't listened to every minute of the show. Like you asked a tradie this once.
Tradies of Melbourne, if you are still listening, it's hard to tell at the moment. 25, is it 25% of tradies have been pulled off?
I would have said about 100 of them.
I was referring to an RDO. Yeah.
That is low.
It's a real low percentage.
And likeable? Like, does this sound very likeable to you, Fee?
When you die, something's got to happen. You don't just die. Oh, dear. You're not just gone.
You're going to get really disappointed.
Oh, no. If nothing happens, there. I'll be dead, so I won't even know.
There's nothing there. Right. And it would kill you to think that at the end of the day, you're not that special. Yeah. This is the problem as all humans. We're all deluded into thinking that we're special. We're not. We're not special.
Who were you up against?
Give me context. That was during our 27-hour marathon. Was. It was like 2 a.m. in the morning. I hadn't slept for about 24 hours.
Yeah, I know. Well, it gets worse.
Grim, wasn't it?
No. Yeah, you're not even great with names of the people you work with.
From Mernda, would you like to see Nick Covey do...
Turn it off. We're going.
Who's that laugh?
That was about 7:30 on a normal day. There was no sleep deprivation there. Nick Covey. How many times you want to see Nick Covey at the Melbourne Film Festival?
Congratulations, number one.
The most likable.
In Australia. Wow. That's right. Your number one breakfast show, Fee, joined by Nick and Feb at
Nick
the Fox.
Covey.
Good morning.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Fifi, Feb, and Nick, good morning.
Yes, now get your calendars out. You are going to want to lock this in. Saturday, the 5th of October, David Walliams is coming to town. An audience with David Walliams. Tickets are on sale tomorrow, tegdainty.com. And he joins us now from the UK. Welcome back to the show, David.
Hello, guys. Very nice to be back. Yeah, it's a Sunday evening here, so I'm in my pajamas.
I better say, you're in your pajamas?
Yeah, I'm in my pajamas. Very, very nice and comfy. But yeah, I'm coming to Australia, New Zealand, and Tasmania that I've actually never been to. And I'm doing a one-man show. It's a Q&A show, so someone will be feeding me some questions. And it's a night of entertainment, lots of funny stories you've never heard before, a few poignant bits and pieces about my life. Talking all about Little Britain, Come Fly With Me, Britain's Got Talent, all the things I've done in my life. And I'm really excited about it. And there will also be a chance for people to ask any question they want. So there'll be hopefully lots of spontaneity and some bits and pieces that kind of get a bit chaotic, because I always like a bit of chaos.
Now, Dave, you tell some stories about your celeb powers, and you got a lot of them, including Barry Humphries, but Elton John, who everyone around the world knows. Have you got a little inside scoop about Elton John for us?
Well, he was telling me he's got a new album. And I said, no one's going to be expecting this album of you. He said, because, you know, a lot of people think you're dead. I think he thought I was going to say, because, you know, you've done this world farewell tour. But yeah, he's a real laugh. I mean, I speak to him a lot, like a few times a week or something like that. And he's a real laugh. He's a real sort of bloke in a lot of ways, you know. I know he's Elton John, so you kind of think, yeah, but sort of, he's just like, you know, he likes watching football and having a chat and having a laugh. And, you know, he's just a really great guy. And I'm very lucky to have got to know him and have so much fun with him over the years, because it's pretty amazing. Oh, and there is one quite good story, actually, that me and Russell Crowe, a bit of a name drop, we went to see Elton play in New York.
Did he throw a phone at him?
No. And we went backstage afterwards to see Elton, and we were like waiting outside the door. We realized there was someone, you know, very important in there. And then Bill Clinton walked out. And I thought,
what? There's another name drop.
Sorry. There's no more famous people in this story. And he goes, hey, Russell, I was watching a film of yours the other night, Home Alone. And Russell went, I'm not in Home Alone. He went, no, I was home alone watching movies. So it was quite a surreal encounter. It was quite a good lot. I mean, because also we weren't expecting to see Bill Clinton.
So no, that was quite cool. Nobody.
So basically, Russell Crowe was kept waiting because Bill Clinton was in there.
With all the shows you've done, it's 20 years since Little Britain. What is the quote yelled at you the most out in public?
I was going to say something rude.
You can say whatever you want.
Probably I get computer says no a lot. You know, anything with a till, anything where you're paying with your card, anything, you know, asking for a receipt or anything like that. I went to Iceland to do a book festival out there, and they said it's just actually just part of like a thing that everyone in Iceland knows and says. So it's incredible. And we still, you know, in the UK, when there's a story about Boris Johnson sort of flip-flopping or something, it'll go, yeah, no, but yeah. But if there's something goes wrong, some computer system, its computer says no. You know, it's amazing that it's like still remembered. It's great. If actually, it was Matt's 50th birthday lunch today. That's where I was today. And he just turned 50. And he had some great, interesting people there, like Sacha Baron Cohen was there. Another name drop.
There we go.
He was at school with Sacha
Baron. My wife.
Yeah, he was at school with him. And so he's known him for like 40 years or something like that. So it's, you know, it's nice if people still know your work and enjoy it. I mean, it's great, isn't it?
That's what we want. When all you celebs are hanging out with each other, because you're all play characters, obviously. Sasha plays
Borat.
Do you all do voices to each other? Do you all quote each other's movies?
Well, like my son. My son is a massive fan. Well, I'm a massive fan as well of Sasha, but he started to get into Borat. He's really into his comedy films. And so Sasha, I wasn't with my son at this point when Sasha came over for tea. And then I got him to video call my son and they sung the Kazakhstan national anthem. Kazakhstan is the best country in the world. Like that. And my son knew all the words. So it was very, very sweet because he was so kind to him and he didn't mind going into the voice or anything like that. So it was nice.
Do you ever, now David, a part of an audience with David Walliams, the audience get to be part of it and ask you anything. Have you ever had a question where you're like, I don't know how to dance around this, or do you have some reflexes?
Well, it was World Book Day the other day and I went into a school and one of the kids asked, when are you going to die? it is a bit bleak. What do you mean? Goes, yeah, but I mean, I don't really know. He goes, yeah, but what do you think? I mean, when do you think you're going to die? So you do get odd questions, but actually the odd questions are actually the best. And the ones that create some chaos and some spontaneity are brilliant. You know, actually, they're much more fun than the ones you've been asked 100 times before.
How did you answer? When are you going to die?
I said, well, I'm not sure, but hopefully a little while longer. I said, hopefully I'll live to the end of this day. But yeah, it did knock me for six a bit because most of the questions, you know, where do you get your ideas from or that kind of thing? You know, what characters are most like you in your books? And it was like, when are you going to die?
You should have said back to him, when are you going to die, you little turd?
Well, it's best to be nice to children.
Does the tone of the questions change by country? Like I assume in America, you know, it's Keith from New York. He's going to be a lot more positive than like a Daniel from Edinburgh.
Well, yeah, I think you're exactly right, actually. But I think the good thing, what I've always loved coming to Australia is that there's the sense of humour is really shared. And in fact, I think you guys are sort of more relaxed and more sort of loosened up about humour than we are in the UK.
I will save you some trouble, though. Before you said you're coming to Australia, New Zealand and Tasmania. Tasmania is a part of Australia and they will melt if you said that.
Tasmania. I'm coming to Tasmania.
But it is part of Australia. Well,
I know, but I'm coming to Tasmania.
Well,
it's a little part. But New Zealand. Have you heard of New Zealand? It's like this sort of, it's an island, just a bit away from Australia. But no, I'm coming to places. What I'm saying in Australia, always loved it because, I don't know, you like kind of rude humour, don't you? You like to have a laugh.
Yeah. That's what we do.
And also, I think you're all sort of, there's a rebellious kind of spirit as well, I think, which I always like. It's always like being there and always felt like I've had a good reaction. And also, my favorite comedian of all time is Barry Humphries. So he sort of really embodied that, didn't he? I mean, for him, there was no too rude, you know?
Well, if you want to check out David Walliams, you can. An audience with David Walliams, Saturday the 5th of October. That's this year. Tickets are on sale tomorrow, though. TEGTegDainty.com. Get around him, support him, and we cannot wait to see you down under. Pop in the studio, mate, when you're here.
I would love to. Thank you very much. Thanks for this morning. It's been lovely talking to you.
You can go to bed now in your jammies.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good night, David Walliams, here at The Fox.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Now, we love funny people. You're funny, Nick.
Thank you. The confidence radiating off that sentence.
Well, I don't know these guys, but I imagine you do because they go viral on Insta, probably TikTok. They're called Shitmates.
No.
You don't know them? Do you know them, Fev?
Are these two dudes?
Yeah, two dudes.
One with and long hair?
Yeah.
Is that the one that tossed a coin on? Is that him?
No.
You'd probably know them. They're famous for doing lip syncs of like famous commentary.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, yeah.
Two young dudes. They do the commentary.
Yeah.
With like James Brayshaw. Yeah. Oh, they're the best.
And
I'm surprised
them.
I don't know them.
You were at an event with them recently, Nick, that Hot Shots PR launch.
They're actually really funny. Uh-huh. They nail it.
Yeah, they look. I agree. Yeah. I've just now
seen. So they lip sync commentary.
That's very good. It's funny
that
it's
out. They actually nail it. Yeah.
They seem quite funny from what Leon's just shown me, but they're in the news today because something they did, they've crossed the line.
Yeah.
And this is unfortunate. And because two quite promising comedians.
commentary lip syncers.
No, it's actually pretty funny.
So they were at the races. The Grand Prix. The big race, the Grand Prix.
Formula One.
And I shouldn't talk about sport. Anyway, they were in the toilets, in the urinal, and there was George Russell, a Formula One driver. And he was at the urinal urinating. Mm-hmm. And they took a video of it. Then they uploaded it. And they were absolutely slammed because you can't do that. Like, you shouldn't do that. And, like, we're now realizing, aren't we? Because with socials and people just loving clicks and wanting to go viral. Remember the kids over summer who pushed the 80-year-old in at Mornington Pier because they thought that was funny. Yeah. Not funny.
That's not funny.
That's too far. No, that's not funny.
That wasn't funny. He could nearly drown.
But he didn't.
Social media content creators, there are lines. We've got to draw boundaries. You can't just walk up to a guy and take a video of him at a urinal and then share that.
He was in his full kit.
They have taken it down, so obviously they realised that it was inappropriate.
Yeah.
Because sometimes maybe you just see someone really famous and you just get carried away. Like, I'm just trying to think, if I was at the urinal, I wouldn't be at a urinal. Where would I be?
If you're standing over a urinal,
he's not meant to be in here.
Jesus Christ!
The old shiwi.
I did a wee next to what's his name? The little short dude.
David Spade.
David Spade. Oh.
I think we interviewed him and you told him.
Yeah, I told him that I saw him. I was just staring at him. Because, you know, when you have a wee, you always look to see if you got him covered.
I would not be looking.
Yeah. You don't look?
Nah.
Yeah. I did a wee, guys, next to Ian Thorpe once. That was intimidating.
You big boy.
That was intimidating.
Did you look?
Did you have him covered?
He's a swimmer.
Did you look?
He's got big
I actually
leg,
felt
big
uncomfortable
feet.
On Friday. Saturday morning, I flew back from Tasmania. And when I landed, I went to the urinal to do a wee because I was busting. And big Andrew Gaze was standing having a wee. And then I tapped him and rubbed him on the shoulder while he was weeing.
Oh,
is that weird?
No.
I don't know what to do.
Don't touch
me. I was like, hey, big fella.
You say hi. Hi, it's Fev.
Yeah.
That's
and
what
I
you
like, rubbed him on the shoulder. No. And then I did a wee. And then I walked off. And then I walked past him because he just lopes because he's a big man. And I was in a rush to get to my car. And I got in the car and I was like, I wonder if he thought that was weird that I touched him on the shoulder.
I thought you were coming on to him.
No, I just walked past and went, hey, big fella. Jeez, I was stiff last night. He was like, hey, yeah. And then I was weaning. I'm like, man, I just touched him while he was doing a wee. Is that weird?
Yeah, probably.
We're mates.
Do people talk to you at the...
all the time. Hey, mate.
I can't believe Fev's starting to consider his actions and consequences. This is unbelievable.
No, just don't be dirty.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Time to give you an answer for Alpha Bucks if you're playing on Tuesday, March 26th. The letter is the letter D.
Ooh!
And the question is, a famous Australian...
Denzel Washington.
No, American.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, American.
Denise Drysdale.
English, actually. Denise Drysdale, well done.
An Australian what?
A famous person.
Oh.
Famous Australian. Dave Hughes.
David Warner. Dave Hughes.
Dave Thornton.
There we go.
Dig it
well done.
101.9 The Fox.
Yeah, beautiful Monday, and every day you wake up is a great day. But
pull up. Pull up. Yeah, all right.
I reckon it is.
What happened?
If you don't wake up, you're in a bit of froth and bubble,
that
aren't
you? That was me being optimistic and positive. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
We're not dead. Happy Monday.
But that's actually a great way.
Yeah.
That's how you should live your life. Don't stress about anything. You're here. Go for it. Yeah. Now.
We are.
It was great until we realised something has gone horribly wrong in our office here. And peek behind the curtains for everyone listening. We have a safe. You might recall this. We had to get a safe for all our goodies because they were being stolen. There's a cupboard in the communal office at the Fox, and we have a supply of chocolates, protein balls, various things that we need during the show.
That I need. Pretty much that you need.
Okay, I do need little chocolate hits, little sugar hits every now and then. But we can't go to the shops at 6 a.m. in the morning when we're here at work. So we have that. They were being stolen during the day. Not stolen, maybe just taken advantage of. Yes, pilfered. So then we got a safe. Now, we've got a safe outside the studio here. It's coded. Only we can get into it.
6969.
Friday morning, we came in. Now, Fridays, Monday, I usually start the Monday off well. It's by Friday that I really do need a packet of crunchies or something
what
to get me through.
What have you got in front of you now?
Got
anything?
Nothing. No,
in your handbag?
You say Monday starts off well. Oh, I see you always.
I've got some little.
I went to a kid's party yesterday
and I smashed all the lolly bags.
But Friday, our safe was empty and there was a note in there. Leon, what did the note say?
Thanks for the treats, XX.
Thanks for the treats, kiss, kiss. Now, we thought, must be Carrie and Tommy, the producers on the show maybe. Leon sent a text, said no.
On Friday.
Not Carrie and Tommy.
Mm.
And then we're no closer to finding out who it was.
Well, we tried to get the security camera footage. The cameras were not working at that point.
That's good.
Which is
that's
sus.
That's a bit.
We've checked in. Jimmy and Nath are in Sydney, but they were in Melbourne for the weekend. Yep.
Now,
it's an interesting decision by them
on
the weekend.
Cameras weren't working. So we, okay.
Won't see them no more.
Then James Blake.
It was like going a cruise.
James Blake, our senior producer, he was at a Grand Prix function on Friday. And I love this because he looks great. Yeah. He's got new black frames. Check out James Blake. Can people go to your Instagram handle? What is it?
At BlakeyJames_. Give me a follow.
You didn't even hesitate then. You didn't even think for a second, do I want people there checking me out? You want it.
Come have a look.
Now, he was there. Now, it was at the Channel 10 marquee, is that right, at the Grand Prix. And the Hunted cast were there. So you've got our big security agent we love, Reese Dewar.
Yeah, from Sunshine Coast.
David Craig, Carla. There was the whole crew. I was going to say Kit and Caboodle. Anyway, you were to chat with them because they know how to hunt people down. This is James Blake trying to get the Hunted cast to help us find out who stole our chocolates.
We've got a bit of a drama in the office at the moment. We've got a safe that we keep all of our chocolates in. Someone's taken all of the chocolates, and they've been daring enough to leave a note that says, thanks for the treats. Also, we've checked CCTV, and apparently, quite conveniently, the CCTV isn't working.
Well, have we isolated the crime scene? Have we isolated the crime scene?
We know where the crime scene is. What else should I be doing to the crime scene?
Cordon it off so no one else can move in there.
Okay, I haven't done that yet.
You need to get some fingerprints in there, DNA, swab, you know. But I think it's really easy, mate. It's Fifi.
So you think Fee has stolen her own chocolates?
Straight away. She's trying to blame someone else.
Standing back and watching what everyone is doing around you is really important because the guilty party will try and avoid your gaze. They will try and not look at anybody else who might be implicated. They will give themselves away.
It's you.
It's so not me.
He sounded pissed. Are you drunk?
That was...
it was a Friday and I was just a couple of champagnes in, but I was still able to work. I worked and I was responsible.
You were.
There's a bit of chocolate.
You got that.
Race those stars, chocolate sounds safe. Can you help us find them?
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Waking you up, it is Fifi, Fev and Nick.
The cast of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here was announced last night because they started. Show's up and running.
Yeah,
I
it's
missed
away.
It. Did anyone here watch it?
No.
Yes. I actually watched a little bit.
What are you doing watching free to air?
What do you mean?
Do you watch TV?
Yeah, casually. Oh. Pop it on. I wanted to see who was in because there was a comedian in and I got a lot of calls from mates yesterday. And when I answered the phone, they were like, just checking you're not in South Africa.
They don't know what you do for a living because you're here every morning. How would you do the show?
But people get out of that.
Do they?
I don't know.
Who was the comedian?
Because I'm not doing it.
She's funny.
Stephen K. Amos. But because I'm not doing a show at the Comedy Festival, some mates thought I'd be heading
yeah,
into
that.
The...
a bit sus.
I know
yeah.
five people, which is good.
Okay, so it's an interesting cast. I don't
know. They
always
are.
To
tick
think.
Some boxes, which is good.
We've got Candace Warner, and I think Candace is wonderful, and I loved her on SAS Australia. Yep. But I feel like that's where it all came out. Do you know? Because often with a show like this, it's all about them bearing their souls and you get to know them better. Mm. But I feel like I saw Candace really under the
now,
pump.
I've never seen this show before, but all I know is people eat bugs and stuff.
And then they cry.
But last night, because Robert Irwin's on, there's no animal eating.
Yeah.
But now it looks like SAS Australia. They're like, stand over this cliff edge and we're going to open a trapdoor and you drop down and then this box is filling up with water. Figure this puzzle out before you drown. I'm like, what is happening? Just eat an ostrich anus or whatever you're
doing. Yeah, we did all that when I was in it. We did puzzles and stuff.
Yeah.
But the Tuesday will be interesting because that's the Tucker trial. That's when you go out to eat and drink all the crap. So I wonder what they'll do
so
there.
So just for people who don't know, some of the names that are going in, Skye Wheatley, formerly from Big Brother, Brittany Hockley, formerly from The Bachelor.
Idea.
Michelle Bridges, we know her. From Biggest Loser. They're all from reality shows. Tristan McManus, he was hosting.
Is that Rose, looks like
no, he's a dancer. Oh. He's a dancer that looks dances like. And then hosted the morning show.
No. Oh, the Irish.
He's
asked from Channel 10.
We had him in the studio.
Yeah,
great
he's,
guy.
He's a good fella.
No, he was in Sydney with
there's
you.
Another
yeah,
one,
he
eh?
Dan- I danced yeah. with him.
That's six.
There's a guy called Callum Hole. He's from Love Island, UK. Ellie Cole, she's a Paralympian. Peter Dacos, that's the most interesting for mine because I love Peter Dacos. Yeah. Former Collingwood player.
This thing yesterday where they had to stand on the
Macedonian
ledge and trap door opens, everybody's freaking out. And Peter Dacos stepped up and Lucci said, oh God, I'm a bit worried about him. He's looking a bit old. He might have a heart attack. I'm like, Lucci, he's like a grand final winner. He was the coolest operator. The trap door opens, they had to read a number on the side of a cliff, and he's like, 7. There was it's like his heart rate didn't change.
I hope he goes well.
I think he will.
Because there's only one footy player that's ever won it. So.
You're right, good point. I don't think he's got stiff competition. And Frankie Muniz, he was the big name from Malcolm in the Middle.
My name is Frankie Muniz. I am currently a NASCAR driver, but people probably know me best as Malcolm from Malcolm in the Middle. It's going to be crazy, and I know it's going to be stuff that I don't want to do. But at the same time, I'm ready for the challenge.
I'm so interested in. Let's talk cash because I don't understand. He would
he's
have
a
made.
NASCAR driver.
Leon and I were talking about this. Not only is he a NASCAR driver, from Malcolm in the Middle, we think he could be worth 30 mil. Like, is that what you sort of. We did sort of.
I think I looked it up. He over the 7 seasons, he probably made just over 10 million. Mm. Plus, he gets residuals from replays around the world now. But also, his NASCAR, he's getting good money from NASCAR racing.
Why is he in the jungle?
A challenge, maybe?
There are rumors.
Candace Warner, they got a lot of coin.
Well, that's what I mean, David Warner. When you cricketers just never stop making money, even after they retire.
Cash.
Candace, there's rumors that Candace is making $500,000.
That'd be right.
Well, you know money. What did you get paid?
I got paid. So I was in 2015 or whatever the episode season that was. I got $250,000. Up front.
Whoa. $250,000.
Up front. And then $5,000 every show after the 2 weeks. So you'd lay there like on a Sunday and you think, I hope there's not a, well, there's another eviction. 7 days. There's 35 grand.
Wow. Boom.
Hopefully they don't have an eviction during the week because then it's not a, every time I'd lay on the bed and go, oh God, there's another $5,000. Whoa. Because I was broke. I was like, this is sick.
You truly needed it.
Yeah. I didn't really need it. It was going to Alex. I didn't get any of it.
Well,
hold on.
I don't get any money, bro. Every $5,000, I'll be like, can I have a fitty?
Yeah.
because Warney, what did Warney
got,
get?
Just over $2 million. But yeah, he had, I think in his clause, if he left, he didn't get anything.
Mm.
So he had to stay in. And there was one time where he was like, man, I'm done. I need to go, man, $2.2 million. He's like, yeah, okay.
What about Bernard Tomic? Because he got a mil, he got a mil and left after 3 days.
He left after 3 days. But right. It's good coin. But some of the other guys like Tristan McManus and Stephen Amos, they'd be getting like 30.
No, Stephen K. Amos, for him not never, to do Melbourne.
Never heard of him.
No, the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Yeah. He's a big ticket mover.
Yeah.
So I assume for him to have the month off this, it's got to be worth some delsh.
Interesting cast though, isn't it?
Khan, is it Khan Nong? Is that yeah? I know he's a chef. I watch him make breakfasts for his person that lives in his house. Makes his lunches. He makes. He's the chef, so he's gonna be good. He'd be getting 30 or 50. But there's someone else that'll be going in because there's only, what is it, six,
well,
nine,
Leon's
only 11.
Tipping that
the
in
gold
tonight,
logo one's going tonight.
And you think it is?
Denise Drysdale.
Yeah, so she might be getting 150. They've got a pretty big budget. That English guy will probably be getting a bit if he's famous in England.
Callum Hull?
No, he's not. He's actually
UK.
He's never been on. He was on Love Island Australia.
Oh.
Because he's a UK. He lives here now. So he was never on Love Island UK. Then he was on Love Island America as well.
Oh, dear.
Thanks for getting a little bit. There's a fair bit of coin that gets thrown around to these.
Yeah.
People. So
anyway, well, let's somebody watch it because I've got no interest.
Because I think. Yeah, don't worry.
No, say it.
Nah.
Go on.
No.
Oh,
no.
Really can't say.
No, I just don't know what I was going to say.
That hasn't stopped you before.
No, it just looks like an average bunch.
Let's check your odds.
101.9 The Fox.
Good morning.
The Melbourne International Comedy Festival is upon us and two of our favourite, I was going to say Melbourne comedians, but I don't know how one of you feel about that.
Oh, one of us can't speak English.
and a couple to boot. We got you both in the studio, Lloyd Langford and Edmonds.
Hello, welcome good morning.
Back to the show.
Morning.
Together
you're
for the first
waiting
time.
For you're married?
Nah.
Partner. Why don't you get married?
Fair. All right, righto. Yeah, right straight into it.
Oh, it's grandma.
Should be married. He waited for you to speak. He was real nervous. He's like, do I say me first or do I look
you on? You want to leave on air proposal? No.
Yeah.
Mate, it'd be great for radio, good for ratings.
My proposal favour is that you stop talking.
Okay. if you can pay me contract out, I'm happy to stop talking. Might need to sell a few more tickets at the comedy festival, but you'll be right.
Now, I love this because Blunt is your new show, Lloyd, which is very exciting.
I was being blunt. That's what I was trying
to. Well, I know.
I was trying to get it into the show.
It excites me because, well, I love your comedy and your bluntness anyway, but to know that this could be just nonstop bluntness. For your bluntness is very blunt.
Yes. I'm trying to be more of a prick. Just in general. Hence my comic defense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's working. You're nailing it.
Yeah. So it's a show about that, about turning 40 and kind of embracing my inner sort of rude old man.
Because that just gets better from there on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just 40. You've
I'm
got
not
a good
enjoying it, but
Can't be
stop
within
being
the family.
Rude.
Yeah, not in the family unit, but outside your little girl, Gwen, she'll start school in a few years. Great time to be that sort of bloke. Do you want to be on the committee? No. Do you want to come to the family? No. Having a great time.
Yeah, I'm burning bridges now before I even get to them.
Now, someone who's burned a bridge with you already, and it is quite personal and hurtful, because obviously, Anne, you have Why's My Bag All Wet, your show, on at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and somebody has already given their opinion about who they would prefer to see.
Yes.
Your daughter, Gwen.
She likes mummy.
She was asking. We've got the audio of the question. Shall we relive this moment?
Gwen, mama's going to show you the comedy festival guide, and you can tell me which shows you want to go and see in the festival, okay? So have a look at the guide. Whose show would you prefer to go and see first, mama's or dada's?
I didn't even think. Just an automatic reaction.
A lot of people don't use their kids on social media and stuff. Gwen's doing promo, like, not paid. Right. She's out there. She's spruking. She's flyering.
I had a lot of men message me after that saying, surely she should have chosen Carl Barron.
Carl Barron's the best.
Neither. Imagine if she said neither.
Yeah.
She's never said the word neither. Just right then.
Now, a good friend of the show, Tommy Little, is having a roast tomorrow night. He's getting hammered by the comedians, all you comic people, the knock-knock jokes. Now, Nick Cody's going to be roasting.
Yes.
Tommy, have you ever been involved in a roast before?
Only at home. We have a roast beef. <Yeah. roasting. laughs> I roast Lloyd all the time.
It's meant to be brutal.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be a lot of references to tight jeans, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just wears, he's got it like a uniform, doesn't he, Tommy? Tight jeans and a black T-shirt.
Mm.
I've never seen him in anything else.
Yeah, he loves it.
Mm.
But I mean, it's good. Dill's fat again.
So yeah, so like, that's handy.
You beauty. Thank you.
Are you guys that's, just saying that to his face? Like that's...
Yeah.
Because I think he looks great. Mm. I see him on socials. I go, he looks healthy.
He's back playing, right?
Mm. I think he looks great, but it's quite blunt.
You'd be an awful roaster.
Oh,
you all look
roast.
Spectacular.
I hate them.
I think Lloyd, you've got Lloyd great personalities.
Good. I think Lloyd would be good at roasting.
Yeah.
Now that he's blunt.
Yeah. Custom built.
They had a comedy roast battle in the UK where comedians were roasting each other, and I was writing for one of the comedians for the roast for the other one, and the producer contacted me and said, "You've actually gone too far. We're not allowed to say stuff like this."
Lloyd, I believe that's just inciting terrorism. This isn't a comedy. It always makes you feel bad, doesn't it? I've tested a few roast jokes out here, and our boss, Mad Mando, asked me last week, she just shook her head and said, "Nick, are you evil?"
Lloyd was roasting me the other day because he busted me giving misinformation to Gwen. So, you know, when you're a parent, it really exposes like what you know about. She was asking me about pelicans and their big throats.
Yeah.
tell them what you overheard me telling Gwen.
Anne told Gwen that the pelican has such a large throat because it swallows loads of fish up and then keeps them in the throat like a sort of fish tank. And then if it gets hungry, decides which fish it wants to eat.
So like a food camel.
I told my kids that. I actually thought that was real.
I did too.
Because at Lake Mwala, there's all pelicans, and they're everywhere, and the kids are like, why are they? Same thing.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, they fish.
And they're
leave it in
there.
They swim around, and when they're hungry, they just go, whoop.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, what so I just thought that was true.
Well, I don't know.
What's the truth?
Come on,
isn't that true?
I'm starting to doubt myself. I thought they just swallowed the fish, like, straight away.
So what's with the big
deal? Yeah, why have they got it?
It's because they can swallow a lot at a time.
No, they keep them there.
I thought they keep them there.
Yeah, they do that.
Our producer, James Blake, Nerdburger, he's looking it up. Here we go.
It's not to start their own discount aquarium.
Fish and chip shop.
Oh, catching prey and draining water from the scooped up contents before swallowing.
So it's like a sieve, right? Yeah, it's like a throat sieve.
Yeah,
but they don't keep the fish alive. It's not like they don't keep the fish alive.
Yeah, it's something like a Chinatown restaurant. I'll have that lobster and I'll have that. They eat them all at once.
He took me aside and said, "Use Google, please."
She's just going to go to school and confidently tell other children everything you've told her. And then get put in like a different class to everyone.
That's the class I was in, so you don't want to do that.
It'd be so much fun living with you two.
Mm.
Just thinking, Gwen's got it made. Like, just fun, funny. Do you find that? Do friends come over and just want you to be entertaining? Like
Well, we try to be. We do a lot of sitting on the couch next to each other in silence, scrolling on our phones, watching maths. Like we're not a laugh a minute.
We're actually not at home much at the moment because Anne has discovered this new website. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Oh, hello.
What is
it? OnlyFans. Only Anne's.
It's called Day Use, and you can hire a hotel for like a short amount of time.
Oh. Yeah, it's a breakthrough.
What do you do at the hotel?
Well, exactly. That's not so. No,
make another Gwen's.
You'd think that, but there's no way to not feel dodgy turning up at 10 a.m. to a hotel. Like we both turn up.
So hold on, in Melbourne.
So you can do it anywhere in the world. I feel like I'm promoting them, but I don't have any. No, but you can put any city in there and it'll show you the hotels that are happy for you to come and just use like at between 10 and 6. Like the room's empty, get in there.
And what are you going for?
Well, we just go for a rest.
Oh, so you go together?
We go together for a rest from Gwen. So we've got a nanny.
Mate, I reckon that if you're going to the same one, they're thinking you're an escort. And
exactly.
He's the big dog's picked up a good one. Look,
you've
Lloyd.
Got a house.
We've got a house.
Be there.
You could,
but we've got a nanny,
Gwen
so you have to
there.
Go.
Gwen's there.
Yeah, Gwen's in the house. Gwen's got control of the house.
Not you haven't heard of daycare or
amazing. No, we can't get in. You can't get into daycare.
So instead of your child going somewhere to look, get looked after.
We go.
This is the most Edo solution to a problem
it's ridiculous.
I've ever heard. I've been to a hotel.
Room service, have some dinner.
Yeah. It's good.
It's a bed, isn't it?
There are hotels in there you can hire by the hour, but we don't go to those.
No, we go to... But you get a vibe at reception. It's a different type of reception that you get. They're like, hello. Like, I'm like, no, we're not going... But we're just really going to sleep. We're really
over here. But I've heard of vacation, staycation, when you vacation in your own city, you're doing daycation. Like, you don't even have clothes for the next day. You just swim in the pool and eat some lunch.
Pretty much.
I think it's brilliant. Yeah, because you don't have to clean up, don't have to make the bed, order room service, and then get the hell out. It's someone else's problem. Go home. And your nanny's cleaned everything up.
And Gwen's ready for bed.
Ready for bed. Yep. Hello. Bang, maths.
That's how we're living our lives
in Melbourne.
We're
putting ourselves into daycare. Yeah.
You can see Loy Langford's blood. Anne Edmonds, Why Is My Bag All Wet at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Tickets, comedyfestival.com.au. Get around them.
What's the rate?
Sometimes about $110, that kind of
That's
level.
That's good.
It's like half the price that the hotel would
normally.
That
is cheaper than daycare.
Yeah, it's cheaper than daycare for the day.
You're on to something.
Thanks for coming in, guys. Appreciate
good
it.
Good to see you guys.
Thank
good
you. Day.
101.9 The Fox.
Melbourne International Comedy Festival. What a city we live in. We just had the F1 finish up and then Comedy Fest starts.
I know.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Do you notice everyone from Sydney just comes down to Melbourne for stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's just so much.
Because there's nothing going
We've
on
got
in
so
Sydney.
So much in our city.
Brisbane from the UK.
Now, I tell you what, I woke up on Saturday morning, as most of us did, to finally having some clarity and clarification over what has been happening in Kate Middleton's life. And I woke up to that video of Kate and I cried. It made me cry. I was really genuinely moved by that. And there's a real lesson for everybody in the pressure, the carry-on that happened around the world regarding where's Kate, where's Kate? We were involved in it. We were like, what's happening? And the conspiracy theories and try to piece it together when all the time it is a mother, a wife who's going through something quite traumatic.
In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London. And at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present.
Now, it's... Oh, so what do you think?
No, like, it was just... I'm going, like,
oh, I thought
wow.
I honestly thought you nearly had another conspiracy.
No.
Why didn't they just do that at the start?
Well, this is the tricky thing, because I agree. Like, to extent, the royal family and all the advisors, they're used to this. This is the world. Not Kate, necessarily. They've had decades of managing stories, scandals, personal lives. I think maybe they thought they did. They came out and said she's got surgery, she'll be recovering. And I did say to both of you last week, I was on the side of she can tell people what's going on at her own. She doesn't owe anyone anything. And I still believe that.
But she does they live for free. Everyone pays for that. Just tell us what's going on.
Yeah, but I guess she did. They did. She'd had abdominal surgery. She then found out it was cancerous and that to then be going through cancer treatment, to be having a young family, a husband that's clearly got to continue in the public. I mean, I can do nothing but feel for this poor woman and everything she's gone through.
I think I read that she was waiting for school holidays to start in England because the boys or the kids, they didn't want other kids going up to them saying, oh, your mum's got cancer.
But you think about it
too.
Is that
right? Yeah. I think that's right. She was just waiting for the
time. But also, she's got to tell her children. Yeah. She's got to let them process it. And here we are on the world going, tell us what's happening, tell us what's happening.
Just
not
see
our
the
business.
The celebs come out and like Blake apologize. Lively and Kim Kardashian all that to do a big apology because they were making fun. Oh, yeah, they'd come, Blake
no,
Lively.
No, lots of people did.
Yeah, lots of people did a quick, oh, whoops, I'm sorry. And we had Paul Barrett, Paul?
Well, we had
and he pretty
Diana's
much told us he knew what was going on.
Former personal assistant and best friend and confidant. When we had him on the show last week, he did say that the world would feel bad when they found out.
She's been ill. She's had a serious operation. And when you all find out one day what it is, you'll think, oh, my goodness.
Do you know what it is?
How horrible. How horrible for the world to... do I know what it is? Well, I do, but I'm not going to say because it's not my place to tell you.
I still stand by, yes, they are public dignitaries and there is a level of transparency, but I still believe regardless of your status in life, you are you absolutely deserve privacy. I do, and I think that was something private that, and then I actually just felt so terrible for her that she'd almost been bullied into saying all of that because the world was not going to give up and let her off.
Because they're royals.
Because yeah, they're royals.
We can do this again.
She would have had to say it anyway. So just come out so that, because we all care. We all want to know, like, are you okay?
Don't you think she has the right to do that at her own pace, in her own time, with
She wasn't even born into it. Like, she chose to be in there.
She fell in love with someone.
Her mum manifested it.
Okay, we are going to disagree again. I agree with you. She knows what... I said this about Meghan the whole time with Harry, and then she cries, well, I don't like this. You saw what that life was like. I agree with all of that. I just think when it comes to your personal health and getting a cancer diagnosis, you're allowed to go, this one's just for me for now. I stand by that.
Do you think if the Queen was alive, she would have made her do it earlier?
No, I certainly don't. Oh, I don't think so. I don't think anyone would.
I've had some family members go through that stuff recently, and it's terrible, and one passed away. But I think when normal people go through it, they're trying to figure out, I've got to fix this. What happens if this goes wrong? I've got to worry about this. Is there enough money? They're trying to sort everything out. She doesn't do anything. Just tell us what's going on and wear your hat.
But don't we
just
all agree?
Just tell us what's happening.
But don't we all agree that mental health and people—it affects everyone. No, but she's allowed to be having
a royal.
She is allowed to be having a breakdown behind the scenes.
100%. But she's a
on her own without sharing it with the tabloid fodder.
Terrible news. But to come out and go, actually, I was mucking around on Photoshop. You're not on the computer. Just say what's going on. If you want to live in castles and wear your silly hats and all, fine, whatever. But you have to let everyone know what's happening.
But she did. But they came out and said she's had abdominal surgery. They don't have to go through them. She explained it, and I thought she did it so perfectly. She has small children to explain that to.
Of course.
And we don't even know. Guys, we don't even know how serious. We don't know how serious this is.
What do you think about
that? Well, that's what I mean. But I mean, if she's preparing them for
what
would happen to her. No, it's not. She's a human being.
What is it? Royal first.
No, human 100%. Being first. Nah. Absolutely.
Don't marry into that.
What did you think of Harry and Meghan's little reach out?
What did they do?
Oh, they just sent their condolences.
They did it through Vanity Fair. Yeah. I mean, seriously. Oh, I'm not even joking.
So what did you think? I want to know your opinion.
They were asked by someone at Vanity Fair, a magazine, and they said, give me a break. To be honest, they probably caused a lot of the stress that's making her suffer in her health. I can't. For Meghan Markle to tell
Oprah... You've blamed a lot on them, but this is...
But she goes on Oprah Winfrey and has a crack at her sister-in-law, humiliates her globally. Mm. Then he writes a book where he says awful things about his sister-in-law
Just be careful. She's a lawyer. She's litigious.
She's not. She's an actress. Don't turn around when she's actually in personal strife and suffering from terrible illness and go, we hope you're feeling better. Yeah. No, you never hoped she was feeling better. You weren't there for her. No. Sorry, how did we get onto this?
I don't know. The phones are melted.
I just really wanted to ask you that question.
Yeah, look at the phone lines.
Everybody's obviously got an opinion about what's gone on regarding Kate Middleton. Not only just the announcement on Saturday that, yes, she had abdominal surgery back in December, early January, but she has since found out it is cancerous and now she's undergoing treatment. And we just had some differing opinions in the studio. I still believe, even though she's a royal, she is a private person that is allowed to have aspects of her life that are personal.
For sure.
But Nick,
I'm not saying the minute you find out, get on Instagram Live and tell everyone what's going on. But of course, you've got to sort the stuff with the family. But I think as a royal and you're married into the royal family, surely there's some, you're getting all that money off everyone. You've got to tell people what's going on.
And I think I said on this radio show last week, I thought she was dead. I said, I think she's dead because...
You were one of the conspiracy
theorists. Yeah, I said she's 100% dead because she hadn't came out for so long and no one had seen her. And in normal, as a royal, I thought they would come out and say what was wrong. So I just assumed, like everyone else in the world, where is she? Why haven't they said something? Oh. And now that I've realised she's got cancer, I felt awful. I was like, oh my God, she.
Yeah. But a young family.
Hopefully she gets through it.
I'm a stand up comedian. I don't ever want to even talk about this. And now,
well,
now
you don't want to talk about it. Mate,
phones.
You're in the middle of it. You've done a good job of that.
You may be the reason the phone's fired up. Julie from Cranbourne West. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Fifi. My point is, I'm on Fifi's side. I believe that the children weren't. They didn't know their mum was going to be a royal. And as a mum, myself, I think Kate had the right to tell her children in a time when she was away from school. And from that perspective, it was cancer that she had to explain to young children. Look at the king. He came out straight away, said he had cancer. So this was about those children. It had nothing to do with Kate being a royal. It was about these three young children.
Yeah, of course, but the kids aren't going to like Werribee Primary. I'm sure at the school there's some sort of, they already know they're going to school with royals. I'm sure there'd be a bit of respect.
I agree, Nick, on where you're saying. My husband says the same thing. Kids are kids, though. Doesn't matter whether they've got a silver spoon.
Good point.
Kids are kids.
But also, Julie, she's allowed to take her time. You can, personally, when you get a diagnosis, a health diagnosis, you can do whatever you want with that information. You can share it. You can keep it to yourself. I don't really think it matters whether you're royal or not. Thank you for your call, Julie. Angela from St. Leonard's. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you all?
Yeah, good. And
I have a different opinion. I'm listening to you, Fifi, but I listened the other day and heard you with that expert and he's saying this and you're all on it. I think if you really feel she needs privacy, what are you going to change as a station moving forward? Like, just stop talking about the royals.
Oh,
leave
please.
Them alone.
Julie, can you, replace Mad
Angela,
Mando?
Angela.
Like, wish them all the best. Couldn't give two hoots about them. Don't want to hear about them. Don't, like, she's going through cancer. She needs privacy. So stop talking about them altogether.
Thanks, Angela.
A couple of things. One.
I'm asleep at the desk.
Nick's hating this. I was the first to say we were part of it. We were absolutely part of it. No, we've been talking about that.
I never want to talk about it.
But Angela, the thing is, I'm a monarchist. I love the royals. I love talking about the royals. And I do agree with what Nick's saying in that they are a public figure. So I think they are fair game to talk about. I just think they're still human beings. And if they have elements they want to keep private, then I absolutely think Kate is well within her rights to have not shared that. That's all. But no, I think they're fun to talk about in general.
You didn't respect it last week.
No, but I
did. You know
in
what
way
mean?
Didn't
no,
I
you
respect
didn't.
It?
You were like, oh, what's going on? Oh, da 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 da.
Yeah,
know,
again,
really
no, I'll go back, Angela, I'll go back to what I said at the start. I agreed that we and I was part of that as a show. So I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm saying now to see what she's going through, I, like a lot of people, feel terrible and think that poor woman, what she went through. So you can have an opinion and then realise you
me,
were
Angela.
And it actually wasn't. Yeah,
it
I
was
am
me.
Falling in my sword here, but I really was quite passionate about her privacy the whole time.
She was trying to make it private, Angela, and I was pushing it. That was all me,
and I didn't care.
And still don't.
Melbourne's number one breakfast show. It's the Foxes, Fifi, Fev, and Nick. Wake up with Fifi, Fev, and Nick on the Fox.